Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Lynn Eveson. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
It's going to bring the word today. Are you ready to receive the word?
Yes!
Good. Over to you.
Fabulous. Over to Jesus. Thank you.
Well, do we have any believers in the house today?
Yes.
Glory, you all said yes. Do we have, disciples in the house today?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. You ready for this word then? Because Jesus used particular teaching and instructions with his disciples, which was different to the instructions that he used with those who were beginning to believe. So I'm talking to disciples today, is that okay? This is fabulous just being here in amongst all the crumbs, because it so reminds me of that parable, which is so powerful. When the bread and the fish were given out, there were leftovers. Not just crumbs, but baskets full of them. What a great word from Steve last week. I have listened to it twice. How many people took notes? Not enough of you. How many people listened to it again on the podcast? Not enough of you. I'm talking to disciples now.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to pew sitters. I'm not talking to people who come to be entertained. You told me I was talking to disciples.
Yeah.
Okay? So you need to be taking notes, because you need to take note of what God's saying to you. You need to be listening to the podcast if you weren't here, most definitely, otherwise you're missing what God's doing. And even if you heard the word, there's always something more. Second time, I got more out of it than the first time. Who's reread the scriptures? Oh. Who did something with what they heard? Those are the disciples. All the rest helps, but those who did something with what they heard, those are the disciples. And last week, people sat under the word. It was the word of God.
Yeah, that's good.
People stood in response to the word of God. Those people who stood, is a challenge here. Have you walked it out this week? Was it more than just a response on Sunday? Did something happen in you on Monday? And was it still there on Tuesday? And were you still walking through it on Wednesday? And were you still applying it on Thursday? Were you still living it on Friday? And was Saturday a key day for it all to come together? Or did you come today expecting to hear another word to make you laugh, entertain you, thrill you? Think, oh, I never knew that before. Disciples sit under the word, stand on the truth and walk it out week by week, day by day. Steve always brings a list of great scriptures. That's a great teacher. Did you do anything with them? Right, while every disciple is a believer, not every believer is necessarily a disciple. And only you know how far you are willing to go with that and into the fullness of God. Disciples go the distance, and that's the title for today. Disciples go the distance. They go as far as it takes, for as long as it takes, and they get out into all the world. Whoa. God still desires disciples today. Did you know that?
Yeah.
There weren't just 12 of them. God still desires disciples today. And he starts with ordinary people like you and like me. He starts with people who are flawed. And he takes them and he makes something great of them. And God still uses people today to do extraordinary things. And that's amazing. It amazes me. Every time God speaks to me, it amazes me. I don't take it for granted. God challenges us when he speaks to us. I've been challenged this week. Discipleship might seem radical And it is. But it was normal Christian life to the early believer disciples. It was just life. That was just the way they lived. And they sat under the teaching of Jesus. They stood on the truth and they walked it out in their lives. And they knew they were prepared to go as far as Jesus had gone. And that's what a disciple is prepared to do. The early believers were men and women empowered and motivated by the Holy Spirit, and they literally turned their world upside down for the sake of Christ. They lived as disciples to make disciples. And we know that the early church grew, multiplied. But have you ever read that the disciples multiplied? The church grew, but the disciples multiplied. We're going to have a look at that in a minute. I found a book that was instrumental in my early, not early necessarily walk as a believer, but certainly my early walk as a disciple. And it was written by David Watson. He was a contemporary of Pastor Colin, had that same revival anointing, that same apostolic heart for the Church of God. He was a man who passionately believed the truth of the Word of God and lived it, and lived to sow it into the church that he loved so much. And David Watson was a vicar at St. Michael the Belfry in York. And 25 years ago, he wrote this, and I was reading it again, and I thought, man, that just stands eternal. And he wrote this: Christians in the West have largely neglected what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The vast majority of Western Christians are comfortable church members, pew fillers, hymn singers, sermon tasters, Bible readers, even born-again believers or spirit-filled charismatics. And we've got some of those here this morning. But they aren't true disciples of Jesus Christ. Wow, that was sharp. If we were willing to learn the meaning of real discipleship and actually to become disciples, the church in the West would be transformed, and the resulting impact on society would be staggering.
Come on.
We'd be turning the world upside down. We'd have a reputation for troubling cities.
Yes.
Do people think of you as troubling cities? Or do they just think, oh, that weird bunch walking off to church again with a Bible under their arm? Are you troubling something in the spirit? Are you turning things upside down? Are you turning your own life upside down to live radically for the cause of Christ as a disciple? Start there, and the rest will happen. Pastor Shane and I were talking the other week about the pastoral anointing, and how a friend of his wouldn't ever sit on the train with him because he drew kind of peculiar people to sit and chat and talk. And I've had a few peculiar encounters this week, and I was thinking of that, and I thought, oh God, you just know who to send across our paths. You just do. You just know. When you're willing to be open, to be a disciple, to go and take what it takes to make something of a situation and speak wisdom and truth and life into somebody's life, why wouldn't we want to live radically for that? Why would we settle for being pew sitters on a Sunday? Why would we settle for anything less than the life of discipleship? Yeah, because God's purpose doesn't change to suit the world. He uses his word and his disciples to change the world. God will never, ever compromise. You can try to make the word fit your situation if you want to, but God will not change his word. And then your situation will not change, because you're trying to manipulate God's word to fit where you're at and what you're doing. This is the only truth to live by. There is no other truth. Anything outside of this is not truth. So it's a
lie.
Cool, we've got that. That's fabulous. God God's plan is to turn the world upside down, or in reality, turn it the right way up. And what does he use to do that? 10 out of 10, Steve. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 17. Because I'm sure you're all still reading through Acts after your connect. I'm sure you've read it through and you're reading it through again. And again. And again. So here, when we get to Acts 17, there's a bit of background. And Paul and Silas even, maybe that's a holiday destination, I'm claiming it. Paul and Silas were not in Cyprus, they were in Philippi. And Paul and Silas and Luke have left Philippi after a rough experience there. They've been accused of those very words, Acts 16 and verse 20. These men exceedingly trouble our city. Why were they troubling the city? Because they were preaching the word of God. They were preaching the truth and they were making disciples. Lydia became a disciple. One certain Philippian jailer and his whole household became disciples. Never tell me that a woman can't lead a church. Lydia led her whole household to God and was a house where the disciples gathered. And so Lydia had been led to the Lord, and they'd seriously troubled the city of Philippi. So Paul and Silas had been stripped, beaten with rods, put in the deepest part of the prison. They'd been put in the stocks, not just put in a cell. It's not comfortable to sleep in the stocks. And there they were, and they were praising God. Let's run through that again. Stripped, beaten with rods, thrown into prison, locked in the stocks. Please don't come moaning to me about your faint, unlasting, little bits of irritation. Read the word of God. What were they doing in jail? Moaning, groaning, grumbling, complaining. What were they doing? Somebody just said it. Praising God. Praising God. They were praising God for all they were worth. They were praising him for his goodness. Do you know what? I think they were celebrating salvation. Yeah. I think they were celebrating Lisa, what is wrong with me? Lydia. I think they were celebrating Lydia and Lisa and the whole household being added to the disciples. Because they didn't make just pew sitters. That wasn't what the Great Commission was about. They made disciples. You can be sure that they preached the truth. They modelled an uncomfortable gospel. But they modelled something that was worth living for, giving for, and dying for. The cause of Jesus Christ. So, there they were, in jail, singing, praising, rejoicing, and then they surfed to freedom on an earthquake. I mean, can you imagine? I want to see that happening here, guys. Worship and praise, and we surf to something on an earthquake. Let the doorposts be shaken. Let the people be shaken. Let us really see the power of God, the supernatural power of God at work in the church. So that was exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was just like, that must have been fabulous. I would have loved to have seen that. Not only did the jail shake and the doors open, the stocks must have, like, fell off. It's cool, isn't it? It's like, I've never seen an earthquake do that in the natural. Jailhouse rock, come on. But God knew just what kind of level of earthquake to send.
Yes.
Anymore, the whole jolly lot would have been down on everybody. The jailer would have been dead before he could have got saved. It's like, God, you're so amazing. You don't just rule the wind and the waves, but you rule the Richter scale as well. And it can produce something supernatural, awesome and amazing, and more than just their freedom, but freedom for the Philippian jailer and his whole household. This is kind of the discipleship life. Don't sit at home bored in your house. Get out and do something. So now they've left Philippi. But you know, wouldn't you have thought once they got their get out of jail free card and it all got sorted out, they'd have just hightailed it out of there. Do you know what they did first? Before they left, they visited the fledgling church to encourage the believers. That's somebody with a heart for the house of God. They didn't just leave. They made sure that the house of Lydia, where the brethren were gathering, were encouraged before they left. That's somebody who thinks of the house and not of themselves. So maybe they went for a holiday in Cyprus. No, they did not go for a holiday anywhere. They didn't decide that, man, that was really hard work and I need to rest, I need to recover. No, they've left Philippi and they went, it says in my Bible, immediately to Thessalonica. Straight away. There was no stopping them. They were disciples. They knew how far they were prepared to go. They went immediately to Thessalonica. You know, Paul just had this amazing, undaunted, unbowed, unconquerable, unquenchable spirit in his life. Whatever was thrown at him, beaten with rods, stripped naked, bleeding, hurting, thrown into prison, locked in the stocks, praising God. It's like, wow, what could you do with half a dozen people who lived like that? Amazing. The idea of backing down, slowing down, giving up, or taking it easy just never entered Paul's thinking. Am I talking to disciples still?
Yes.
I'd like the video out the front, please, Pastor Shane. We've talked about this. One of these days, I'm going to set the video up out here, and I'm going to like stream it through the TV for you as we go. Because you will be shocked that the person standing here could keep preaching. You'd be amazed. You'd know it was the Holy Spirit that kept them going. Am I talking to disciples?
Yeah.
Good. Well, smile at me because this is good news. It's in the Word of God. I'm not preaching anything outside of the Word of God. So they've left Philippi and gone 100 miles to Thessalonica. And those people who were troubling Philippi, their reputation had already spread 100 miles.
Yeah.
That's influence.
Yeah.
That's affected the culture of Philippi and affected the surrounding areas and their reputation. What kind of reputation do you want?
Good.
What kind of reputation do you want? But their reputation travelled. Their reputation travelled and outstripped them. They'd been stripped naked, but their reputation outstripped them. So we're in, there's only one verse here. This is a big build up for one verse, isn't it? So Acts 17 and verse 6. Because they'd gone straight away to preach as ever to the Jews first in the synagogue, and the Jews there hadn't liked it very much. I think some Christians actually don't like the truth very much. But because they hadn't liked it very much, and they weren't persuaded, and they became envious, and they gathered a crowd, an evil crowd, to get back at the disciples. They set the city in uproar, and they went to find the disciples. Verse 6, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, oh, I love this, oh, that people would say this about us. Those who have turned the world upside down have come here as well. That's how you know that their reputation had gone before them. I was like, bingo. They didn't just work in Philippi in an isolated place, then go to Thessalonica in an isolated place. Something was happening. These men have come here as well. They troubled Philippi, and now they're here in Thessalonica, and they're turning the world upside down.
Yes.
Are you turning the world upside down, or are you nice and comfortable? Are you the sort of person who can conquer the stuff that comes against you, or do you decide to moan, groan, grumble, complain, get angry with God, get angry with the church? I'm only asking some questions, I'm not asking you to answer me. It's all right, it's not confession time. There are reasons that these men did what they did, and why they had the effect that they had. There are generally three types of people. There are people who sit and watch things happen. There are people who make things happen. There are people who just have no idea what's happening.
Yeah. Yes.
Which one are you? Well, Paul and Silas were people who made things happen. God, Acts is such a happening chapter. No wonder it's called Acts. It's full of action. It wasn't just the acts of the Holy Spirit. It was the acts of the disciples in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the act of God on the earth. It's an amazing, exciting way to live. Paul and Silas made things happen, and everywhere they went, they caused something to shake.
Yes, that's right.
They didn't just tiptoe into a town. I can just imagine them kind of getting in there. We're getting in the synagogue. This word's going to go forth in Philippi. Philippi's going to hear the truth about the word of God. Philippi's going to be shaken. Then from Philippi into Thessalonica. Man, things shook in Philippi. They're going to shift here.
Yes.
That's what God's word does. It shakes us out of complacency. It shakes us out of misery.
Yes, that's good.
Oh, hallelujah. Everything that these men did caused something to shake and turn the right way around. The world thought they were turning everything upside down. The kingdom knew they were turning stuff the right way round. That's what disciples do. They get a hold of a situation and they turn it. They see what God sees and they shift the stuff that needs to be shifted in their own lives first. Because you can't go shifting stuff elsewhere if you've not shifted the stuff in your own life first. God will use us in a measure, and he's always at work on us. I stand here, a work in progress. Each and every one of us is being changed from one degree of glory to another. Each and every one of us is working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That means, let me repeat that word, working. Working out our salvation with fear and trembling. I'm more afraid of God than you, which is why I can put up with your faces. Anybody listening on the tape? They're beautiful people here in Elohim Church. Listening so intently, it's causing them to frown. What these disciples did every day of their lives, it mattered. Something that Steve said on Sunday just really went bang. He put up this list of awesome scriptures. I could see the picture in my head. And he said something, forgive me if I paraphrase it, but he said something like, these are the scriptures for those of you who want to write them down. And then he said, but if you're along for the ride, that's okay. Are you just along for the ride? These disciples weren't just along for the ride. They lived these scriptures. They weren't just coasting along behind a nice preach. They were living it, the word of God, out in the community. They were traveling with it. It was going before them. They were shaking the nation. They were turning cities. They were troubling areas. You know, we need to be troubled sometimes. God troubled me this week, and it was something that wasn't easy, and it was painful. God troubled me in my spirit this week, and it was a jolly good job he did, because he turned me the right way around. Don't get all hung up when God troubles you, when he provokes you, because he's working something in you. He's opening something up before you. He's clarifying something. He's just refocusing you. He's causing you to walk in discipleship and confidence. Yes. When God troubles you, don't be shaken by it. But conversely, let him shake you out of the place you're in and get you into the place he's got for you to go. What these men did every day of their lives mattered. They believed God, applied the lessons of Jesus, and lived it out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe the word of God that goes forth from here?
Yes.
Do you know this church is so blessed? We have a wealth of anointed, gifted teachers. We have a wealth of people who are committed to the word of God and seeing the people of God grow in it. But you'll only go as far as you want to. And only you know how far you're prepared to go with discipleship. And that will govern the release from heaven into your life of the purpose of God and the things of God.
Yeah.
You need to get and listen to that again. Because I can't say it again. It's not written here. It just came. These people applied the lessons of Jesus, lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God always has those kinds of people. He always has people who make waves. God always has people who will challenge the status quo. It's not just a group. It's a reason for living. Challenge the status quo. Do headbanging if you want to. That's always helpful in discipleship. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, turned the world upside down. But what happened first? God turned him upside down. Something happened in Peter. The power of the Holy Spirit burned in him. The purpose of God arose in him. And he got a grip of the truth of who Jesus was. And he went out on that street and he preached the best sermon of his whole life. And 3,000 souls were added to the church. Paul was out there turning the world upside down. Silas was out there turning the world upside down. Hey, do you know when they went to Philippi, Luke was actually with them. But when they left Philippi, it doesn't say that Luke left. I reckon he was helping Lydia with the church. It's not theologically sound, but anyway. I like imagining these kinds of things. The disciples were out there turning the world upside down. Every time Paul put his foot down, something shook. And do you know, every time I read what Paul did, something in me shakes with a holy desire to get a hold of that. Something in me just shakes. And do you know that song? About tremble, tremble, tremble. It's not a song I like, but it's a principle I want to live by, that something in me shakes at the things of God and that I can get out there and cause things to shake. Paul shook people and they were rattled. If I'm rattling you today, praise God.
Yay.
If you don't like me today, I don't mind.
We love you.
That's lovely. I can keep going. We thrive on love, don't we? But Paul used to rattle people. He didn't go into a town quietly and leave a gentle impression. He kind of stormed in.
Yeah, good.
And the ground shook. Hallelujah. What is it that makes someone shake the world? It's a C, a C, a C. And it is courage. Not your own courage. My courage fails me often. But it's courage to step out for the cause of Christ because you know it counts. It's courage of conviction. I'm convinced who Jesus is. I'm totally and utterly convinced of who he is. So it's courage of conviction. And it's courage for the conflict. I don't know that I've ever shied away from a battle. None of them have been easy. But when you've got courage for the conflict and you step out of your comfort zone into God's combat zone, I'm not talking about just being a horrible person who always wants to pick a fight. I'm talking about courage for the conflict for the cause of Christ, because this will bring you into conflict. Living as a disciple will always bring you into conflict with the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness are in conflict. You live as a disciple for the cause of Christ and the power of God for the kingdom. You're always in conflict. Yeah. Sometimes that will bring you into conflict with people. But generally, it is courage for the conflict with the kingdom of darkness. These disciples unanimously stepped out of their comfort zone into God's combat zone. And the last C, they carried it through to completion with, you need this word, consistency.
Yes.
They lived a consistent life, not on one blank, boring plane, but they were consistently getting a hold of the truth of God, applying it to their lives, and living it out in the power of God. Don't try to live it out in your own strength. It will kill you.
Yes.
I promise to tell you where it says that the disciples multiplied. Acts 18 and verse 9. Oh no, sorry, that's the courage bit. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in a night by vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. That's where Paul got his courage from. He heard God. Pastor Shane brought a word about us listening to God. When you hear God, you can go with the courage of your convictions, and you can get there into the conflict for the cause of Christ, and you can live as a disciple. Acts 6, verse 1 to 7. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, Joe, that made me sit up and take notice. We think of God adding to the church, don't we? We think of the church growing, and that's great. We're going to see great things. But we don't want pew sitters. We actually don't want church members. We want disciples. Because that's what God told us to go and do. Make disciples. Make something of the lives of people who need Jesus. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, wow, it was normal in the early church to see multiplication of the disciples. Then we know about the choosing of those to wait on tables. Acts 6 and verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of, what does it say in your Bible? Oh, can we say it a bit louder? That was pathetic. Oh, that was fabulous. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. They must have got a hold of the power of God, the truth of God, the word of God. They must have sat under the word of God. They must have stood on the truth of God, and they must have walked it out day by day. And what happened when the people were doing that? The disciples multiplied.
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to see a multiplication of disciples. Are we disciples? If we are, our Christian walk is going to be challenging, exciting, stimulating, purposeful. It's going to change the world that we have influence over, that is going to spread. It's going to be a wider area of influence, and we're going to shake cities and nations. That's not like big talk. That's what this book says happens. This is what we live. This is the truth of who we are. Are we disciples living with a sense of purpose and direction? We know that our call is to fulfill the Great Commission. We know that. But we need to live for it.
Yeah.
It's something to live for, to go into all the world and make disciples. But to make one, we need to be one. Because the seed you sow is the seed you grow. What you sow of yourself is what you're going to reap. Make sure you're sowing good stuff into people's lives. So to be a disciple, it means not being a passive listener.
Yeah.
It means being intentional and taking action. It means sitting under the word, standing on the truth of it, and walking in it day by day. A disciple listens with attention and intention and then puts that into action. A disciple is obedient to the faith, and a disciple has a passion to put into action what's been taught.
Yeah.
Is that you? Do you know, I can't pray for you to be a disciple. And you can choose to be one. And it's a choice. And you know how far you're prepared to go. That's your choice. But I can guarantee you'll never live a boring life again if you live as a disciple. Amen.